Breaking Ground, bringing you closer to the story behind the headlines.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Breaking Ground right here on VOW FM 88.1. Alternatively, www.vowfm.co.za. Remember to join the conversation on the show either on Twitter. We are at VOW FM using hashtag Breaking Ground, or call us on 011-717-9881. That is 011-717-9881. And I mean, from the interview that we just heard, we have been enlightened about the fact that the manner in which some law enforcement officials have been conducting themselves since the beginning of the student protest across the country. The scrutiny escalated after the death of 35-year-old Mthokozisi Ntumba. Last week, he was a passerby during the Wits student protest and was sadly and unfortunately shot and killed, allegedly, by the police. Ntumba's story is not an isolated matter. Over the past years, we have witnessed many innocent people die in the hands of our police officers. South Africa has been said to be suffering from a deep-seated inequality and is consistently ranked as one of the least safe and most violent countries in the world. There has been shocking stories of violations and abuse of power by law enforcement officers across the country. This is even more worrying that police brutality continues to take place during a democratic era. Meanwhile, there are two other VOW FM volunteers who also became victim of police brutality. The two were shot by the police while they were on the sidelines of the student demonstrations. These various unfortunate incidents are proof that the South African police have clearly inherited the culture of police brutality as one of the legacies of the past apartheid regime. It's crucial to emphasize that the use of this brutality by the police has also infringed the human rights of many people. People have the right to protest and voice their frustrations when they are dissatisfied, and police should allow that to happen. On the line, we have the provincial head of the Human Rights Commission, Buang Jones. Good evening, Buang Jones. How are you?
Good evening to you and to the VOW listeners.
I'm glad to have you here on the show tonight. I mean, last week the country witnessed a passerby being shot during a student protest. Can you please explain to our listeners which rule of law in the Constitution did the protesting students contravene?
Well, thank you for the opportunity. Protest actions have become a regular feature in South Africa, and the manner in which police have dealt with it, it's something that really concerns us as the Commission. The gathering was not illegal. Protest actions by nature are not illegal, as the right to protest is enshrined and guaranteed in the Constitution. And the manner in which police quell protests or deal with protest marches, it's something that concerns us. It was broken up violently. Police decided to use rubber bullets. And it is also alleged that they also used live ammunition, which led to the tragic demise of Mthokozisi. So we have raised concerns with the police about this, their approach to the management of protests. We have previously engaged with them regarding their understanding of human rights during a protest and how to assist them to bridge the gap between their understanding and what the Constitution and the Bill of Rights says. And in the past, when we dealt with the Antistatani Mecca and the Marikana related challenges, we expressed our concerns regarding the excessive use of force and the use of lethal weapons against peaceful protesters, and also how they unnecessarily escalate hostilities because of the manner in which they deal with protest action. So their conduct was disproportionate, it was unwarranted, and there is a need for for the police to review and reform their training. There's also a need for us as a country to look at whether we still need live ammunition and rubber bullets to be used in protest action. So the ways in which the right of protest is restricted or eroded during this current protest is something that concerns us, and it is quite disheartening to see that the many issues that the police dealt with this led to a loss of life.
And I mean, when a police officer then decides to undermine and overlook the Criminal Procedure Act number 51 of 1977, section 49, which explains that police officers are provided with legal justification to use force in carrying out arrest and includes the rules governing the degree of force to be used, as well as the circumstances in which such force may be employed. Where a police officer's forceful conduct extends beyond the ambit of these legislative provisions, that officer might then be subject to criminal liability. In light of this, what measures will be taken against the police officers that are found guilty?
Well, there are a number of ways in which the victims can assert and claim their rights. Firstly, the first one is the criminal remedies. We welcome the arrest of those who are responsible. We also would like IPED to look into the conduct of the police, public riot unit, public order policing, and some of the protesters sustained injuries. They have a right to lay criminal charges against members of the police. They can also institute civil proceedings against members of the South African police. So they have those remedies. They can seek legal recourse, because the conduct of the South African police service, in my view, amounts to a serious constitutional breach. It would appear that their members are not well equipped to quell and to manage protests. They failed to take reasonable measures to regulate and manage these gatherings. They failed to exercise restraint in the use of force and did not act in proportion to the threat that the peaceful students that were demonstrating and marching posed. They exceeded. They did not act within the bounds and the constraints of the Constitution, because their mandate, they derived their mandate from Section 205 of the Constitution. And they also neglected the provisions of the Regulation of Gatherings Act by firing bullets, using excessive force. And I have had allegations that at some point, even the men in which they apprehended some of the protesters, some were battered several times with batons. The manner in which force and physical aggression was used during the protests is something that, in our view, violates principles of necessity and proportionality. It was unnecessary. So we have to look at the systemic challenges. A lot of our police officers were trained during the apartheid era. A lot of them have to be oriented and have to be assisted in embracing our new constitutional dispensation. It is unacceptable that 26 years later, we're still grappling with these challenges. And of course, we have to also relook at the decisions that were taken in 2009, which in many respects has led to an upsurge in violence, the militarization of the police. They have ranks of general, even our minister is called general. So that also is something that we have to look at. So in our view, whatever we will do going forward should be in line with the Constitution, should be in line with the Regulation of Governance Act, And those who have been wronged, those who were affected, those who sustained injuries can always seek recourse. They can approach the commission, they can approach Center for Applied Legal Studies, Lord Phoenix, Seri, and others who can aidly assist them in pursuing their interest and vindicating their rights before an appropriate formal, which in this case would be a court of law.
And I mean, let's bring in the events that unfolded today, right? The four police officers from the Public Order Policing Unit appeared at the Johannesburg Magistrates Court in Newtown, right? And I'm just asking right now that what is the stance of the Human Rights Commission on the proceedings of the matter in court today, since it was the first time it was heard in court?
Well, we welcome certainly the arrests of the suspects, now the accused persons who are currently in detention. We welcome the swift manner in which IPED and the NPA have dealt with this matter. We hope that a thorough investigation will be conducted and it will culminate in the conviction and imprisonment of these responsible officers. We want to give, because they are independent, both of these institutions, we give them space, but we will continue to exercise a monitoring function and hold a watching brief to ensure that justice in the end prevails, to ensure that they discharge their mandate accordingly. And we will be observing and be engaging with those who are involved in this matter. And we call for justice to prevail. We also want to ask the student community to support the police in their efforts, the IPED, in their efforts to collect evidence, those who were at the scene, those who observed what transpired should also come forward. Those who have video footage should also assist the police, the IPED, that is, in their investigations.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. That brings us to the end of the discussion with you. We are very glad to have had the insight from you as the Human Rights Commission provincial head. So now, after the break, we will have Ndile Kakola, who is the spokesperson of the IPED. Stay tuned in.
Keep breaking ground.